Welcome to Dry Hard Pod, a weekly podcast on navigating life after booze.
Hey, I'm Kaylee, and I have been alcohol-free for 507 days. So I just reached my 500 milestone, which is pretty sick.
That's a big number.
I know, it feels good.
Hi, I'm Katie, and I've been alcohol-free for 417 days.
Coming right up on me, our like 90-day difference, our 90-day fiancé.
Oh, so sweet. I feel like I'm right around the corner from 420 days, like 420. And it's funny because, when I was, when we were like 4 months and 20 days, it was like 420. And if it, it's just, we'll always continue some way or another. So, Kaylee, how are you feeling this week? What's going on?
Oh my God, I've had so many feelings, and it's been a while since we've done a recording too. I've been going through it. I've just been like, I think just a lot of change, a lot of transition, starting a new job, and honestly having a lot of free time on my hands. And Danny, my partner, I ended up like crying to him and being like, I just have so many feelings and not drinking sucks and I have to feel all of them and I just want to numb out. Like, I don't want to like be in this mental state anymore,
Yes, I do.
It's nice that those feelings really last, not as long as they used to. And I feel a lot better now. I feel like I'm coming around the corner. So, yay. How about you, Katie? How are you feeling?
Before I go, I want to add to that it's like you now have like the tools to be able to communicate your needs and like walk yourself through those moments. Like when we are drinking, like you don't even get the chance. It just is so exacerbated, by like miscommunication and not feeling well. I think that's really cool that you're doing that.
Yeah, no, 100%. I also feel like when I was drinking, I didn't know why I was feeling bad. Everything just felt really bad and heavy. Mm-hmm. And the solution was like to drink more, right? And now I feel like I can be like, oh, okay, I feel anxious. Do I need to go on a walk? Like, do I need to just chill and cancel all my plans and lay in bed? And I can kind of troubleshoot a lot better. I'm building the manual. So that's rad.
Okay, wait, I'm going to start calling you Vince because you just like, you did one of his metaphors for us there.
Oh, yeah. Build the manual to live your life. A memoir.
Live, laugh, love.
Live, laugh, love.
Well, yeah, you're fucking crushing it. So just so you know.
You are.
Thanks.
Are you laughing and loving over there?
Okay, so it's funny because we haven't recorded really in like a week and a half, and so much happens in a week and a half. I kind of feel like last time we recorded, I was going through it or coming on the like a tail end of one of those. And then I kind of just like stopped everything. I think we talked about on the pod that I had this unexplainable headaches on and off again for like weeks straight. And they were making me nauseous.
It was bad.
Yeah. And I went to the doctor and essentially like they are gone through just like more conscious daytime screen use.
That's fucking crazy.
And just more like conscious choices in general. And it was really scary to feel like I didn't feel that well. And that I would need to learn some form of discipline in order to feel better. That was really scary for me. I have not really been challenged with something like that besides alcohol,
Your body was like this, something's got to give here. Like you got to stop doing so much.
Yeah. And we talk about it and we laugh on the podcast and, I like play it up to being this perfectionist and, oh no, I can do all of these things. Like I can do it with no consequences and, self-care. Well, I can't. And I'm really excited not to do it all anymore, So I'm just kind of taking a step back and trying to chill more and take better care of myself and prioritize my time. And it's working so far. So I feel really grateful for that. I'm kind of running on the high of that. hoping I can just continue to stick to my routine and like not mindlessly scroll as much, which I love doing. And
I know
sitting with better posture while I'm working and taking more frequent breaks while I'm working, going on walks and, you know, just like wearing my glasses and getting 10 hours. I'm like a 10 hour of sleep kind of girl. So, you know, 10 hours a night and just drinking more water, just trying to be more conscious. That shit's hard.
Oh, it is. I hated drinking water as a kid. Never did. I always drank fucking strawberry milk. And now I love, there's nothing better than like when you actually feel in your body that you know that your headache and all this shit is because you're dehydrated and then you drink water.
I know.
So fucking good.
Life changing. Too bad I wait almost every time until it's literally life changing and I don't just stay properly hydrated throughout the day.
No, all before, all right before bed.
I love it. Yeah. So, so I grew up in Michigan. Like, I don't even know if our water drinkable. Like, we had a Culligan softener, like, in our water we were drinking because we lived out in the fucking middle of nowhere. But yeah, I don't even remember my mom ever telling me to drink water. We like always had Gatorade. And my mom was a Diet Pepsi drinker.
Yes, my mom was a Diet Pepsi drinker.
I also love myself a Diet Pepis. I don't often drink it. But when I do, it is refreshing.
Yeah, it's crisp. It's crisp.
In the can. There's no other way. Anyways, so I digress. I am so glad to visit with you, Kaylee. And we are kind of talking about, well, first of all, I've had some memories kind of come up over the last couple of weeks in sobriety.
Yeah.
Of situations I was in and my experiences as an underage drinker.
Yes, I too have been thinking back to times when I was younger and cringing, but also trying to figure out why those things are coming up so much for me. So, yeah, I think Katie and I have both been feeling a little nostalgic, and also just I'm just now starting work on inner child. Katie's been doing it for a while through, you know, the meditations that we've talked about. But we wanted to get into it since we both really started binge drinking around that age of our young years of yesteryears.
Of yesteryear, so. Yonder.
Yesteryears. So we wanted just to talk about like underage drinking and in general and kind of how that's been a big part of our story. So Katie, what did that look like for you? I know that the listeners have gotten to hear some specific stories, but when did like the binge drinking really start and what was going on there?
So I told everyone the story about like my first like real drinking experience that I remember. I'm not sure that was my first, but pretty close to it. I really started binge drinking when I moved to Oregon after eighth grade. So my freshman year in high school.
Mm-hmm.
I was always a young kid that wanted to fit in, and I like would go to great extremes to make that happen. And so I found myself, you know, in the situation with my dad who, you know, hadn't really had kids full time that were my age at that point in his parenting path, you know. I lived in Michigan with my mom. And so I just don't think that there was a lot of supervision there, you know, and he, I'm sure I snuck around, you know what I mean? Like I was not easy by any means, but at that point it was just really easy to get older people to buy alcohol for you, whether, you know, it be the bad judgment call of a parent, of a friend's parent. And we just started drinking as much as we could on the weekends and going to parties when I went to Willamette. And I remember one specific time. Okay, wait. Let me backstory.
Let's get into it.
If you don't know what I look like, this is at Katie Pelroy speaking. Just because a couple of people have been like, I don't know your guys' voices enough to tell you apart. You sound so like seamless together. So I don't know if you know. I don't know if you know what I look like, but I'm super fair skinned. And I don't know why I always say that when I talk about how sensitive I am to hot tubs. Like, I'm like, I'm just really fair skinned. Like, for some reason, I don't know if that makes me more sensitive or not to hot tubs. But anyways.
You boil faster than the average fucking human.
Yeah, my skin turns red. I am like, I like my hot tub at like a 98 degrees, 97 degrees.
Oh, yeah. That's too, no.
Yeah, you're like, turn that bitch up to 104. Thank you.
Yeah, cook me.
Yeah. So I desperately wanted to be cool, right? I just moved to this new town. I had an older stepsister that was in my life at the time, lived with at my dad's house with his wife. And anyways, she was a year older than me and she was fucking cool and a badass. And like, I really wanted to impress her. And like, I don't know, we were pretty close. She's my stepsister for a short amount of time.
Yeah.
And she took me to her friend's house out in Springfield, like
deep Springfield,
like Glenwood. and we got to these guys' house. There was no parents there, but it didn't look like if there was a parent there that anyone would give a fuck, right? Like,
yeah,
there was like weed paraphernalia all over the house, like half gallons, like fits just everywhere, just a party house. And
I'm picturing like what the inside looks like, and there's like no decor, but probably like really gross carpets, like dark inside.
Exactly. Yeah. And there's like a million dogs. It's like,
oh no.
anyways, and like no hate, like people are just doing the best they can, but I just had not really been exposed to a lot of that environment, a little bit, but not with no supervision. So anyways, we're there and they're like, we're going in the hot tub. And I'm like, oh, we don't have bathing suits. And my stepsister's like, yes, we do. And I was like, oh God.
Did she pack some in her backpack? She like knew what was up.
Yeah. Yeah. And she drove an like OG Ford Bronco, like a super fucking cool Ford Bronco.
Jealous.
So she was just like, and she was like a skater chick. Like she was just cool and she was mean. Like no one messed with her, you know, and we would always eat Taco Bell. Like she just always let me pal around with her. I really appreciate that.
I love that. I wish that was me. She sounds cool.
Yeah, she is. And like now she's a mom and she has like really cute kids and they live in Cresswell and she's like so pretty. So okay, anyways, so you go to this guy's house and I'm like, okay, I'm probably excited to be there slash nervous slash just want them to like me, and I'm like just got out of eighth grade, right? And they're like reading in the hot tub. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna die here because I can't handle hot tubs at all. And then they start passing around a pint or a fifth of Jack Daniels, like, and we're just swigging it in the hot tub. I'm 14.
Oh, like, my God.
I can barely take a penicillin pill without barfing at this age. Like, I cannot swig Jack Daniels.
It's not even like you knew how many shots you could drink at that age. No. If you were fucking taking them in shots, but swigs, like how are you gonna measure? And I feel like that stuff takes a while to kick in. Like a shot doesn't hit me right away. It hits me a little bit later. So
yeah, it's really even weird thinking about that. Like it makes me shiver a little bit. I don't even, you know, because like that feeling feels so far away from me, but it's so distinct, you know?
Yes.
So trigger warning for that. That's crazy. But I swigged off the bottle, and I'm one of those, like, anyone listening that knows me knows that I'm kind of like, I throw up a lot when I drink. Like that's kind of my MO. Like I just can't handle it. Like whether it be like, I don't know if it's a gag reflex or what.
Katie and I are both pukers. We're pukey girls.
We are. Oh my gosh, write us if you're a puker. Okay, anyways. So I wind up like taking a swig and like vomiting in my mouth and having to swallow it. I'm in a hot tub with like probably four older guys, probably 17 and up. I'm 14. I'm with my 16-year-old sister, like trying to be cool. And then they bring out a blunt.
Oh, shit. Crossfaded while your body's boiling.
And when you don't know yourself and like you have no idea what who you like anything about what you're supposed to be or what you're supposed to do in those situations. And so you just do whatever you think is most accepted. And like I was dabbling, right? So I'm trying to learn. Like I had only smoked weed a couple times before. Like, yeah, I fucking took some massive fucking hits off of this blunt.
It sounds like you're at like the coolest party when you think about like smoking blunts in a hot tub, but
dangerous.
I have a visual picture.
So next thing I really know, the water is going over my head and they're like pulling me out of the hot tub.
Fuck.
Yeah, and I just like got too hot and too high and too drunk and I just passed out and it was embarrassing. I don't really remember a lot. I just do remember like just that feeling of being like, oh, fuck. But I think I came to like pretty quickly after that. I wasn't that fucked up even. Like it was just like my body could not handle all of those things at once. And like I remember sitting on the couch one like ready to go, right? Because I just embarrassed the shit out of myself in front of all these like almost, you know, adults. So
yeah, you were done with the night.
They had a mini fridge by the hot tub, which yeah, it was fucking cool. And it had a sticker on it that said, "I poke smot."
Oh, I remember those stickers. Yeah.
Yes. And I was like trying to figure out what it was, like sitting there on the couch, like, what? And then I just remember getting it and then being like, okay, we're leaving. Just,
it's time to go.
Like, I'm pretty sure I was just so embarrassed. Not only was my brain and my body like shutting down because of all of the substances I put in at one time at the most like terrible temperature your body could accept any of those things at, I literally was so traumatized by drowning and being in front of strangers that I like for sure repressed that shit. Like I was like, "Ooh, go away. I don't want to hear from you anymore. This story does not exist in our loop."
This is an offside and I don't want to get too far into it. But I feel like in my life I've just dated a bunch of like skinny tall white guys who can't swim.
That needs to go in your memoir.
I know. And I'm poor Danny. He's like, "What the fuck are you talking about?" But this was not him, but another guy was getting like stressed out about being in my hot tub because that was a big like I drank and hot tubbed all the fucking time. Like my dad had a hot tub. It was an excuse to like, my dad was out of town. I could have a few friends over and probably not get, you know, noise complaints and we could go in the hot tub and hang out. And he was just really worried about like, just really wanted to be careful in the hot tub because he didn't know how to swim. And I was like, "You're 6'3". Like, gonna be fine. I promise.
And like, here I am 14 years old, not a single thought processing as I'm just like withering away in this hot tub, like not a single.
Yeah. Caution to the wind.
Yes. Thank you. Just like, fuck it.
Hot tubs do really, even if I'm sober and I get out of a hot tub, I'm like, oh my God, I didn't realize like how fucking dehydrated I was, or I feel a little bit dizzy. So it's a bad combo to drink a bunch of alcohol and really hot water when you think about it.
Totally. So that wraps up my like, I mean, there's so much like so much underage drinking, so much like over serving by bartenders with when I had fake IDs and stuff like that. But Kaylee, you have experience being a minor going to Europe.
Yeah.
What was that like?
Oh my God, it's so funny. You can, if you are friends with me on Facebook, you can go to the albums and literally see that I am probably drunk in every single photo, because I was getting access to alcohol and really starting to drink a lot when I was 18, 19. When I was 18, my boyfriend at the time, who we'd been like on and off since I was 16, cheated on me with someone who was like, quote unquote, just a friend.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. And then broke up with me and moved to another state and city with her. So I was pretty, I forget how like wrecked I was. I was just It's just, you know, the feeling of like shock and heartbreak, and I knew it, and like, oh my God, I wasn't crazy, all of that shit. So I was just going through a really rough time, and I had always been like a huge Anglophile, right? Like, I love England. It's like where our family heritage is and my grandparents have been. So I was like, fuck it. I am literally getting out of the entire country, which is the best thing to do if you're going through a breakup. Uh-huh. Just like leave to as far away as you can possibly get. And went to Europe. And yeah, the legal drinking age there is 18. And so I could get into bars and just buy alcohol. And that was the first time that I was able to do that. So before really understanding what my tolerance was and being in a school program with a bunch of other people who are as young as I am and as excited about alcohol as I am, and the fact that we now have unlimited, unfettered access to it, I was fucking drunk all the time. And I remember like meeting up with some guy who was at one club, and we ended up taking the tube to go to another club. It's like club, another club, another club, like tries to finger me on the dance floor right in front of the DJ. Like,
oh my God,
went home. Like, missed my fucking last stop because not all stations in the tube run to be 24 hours. Like, my, it was like, I had to be home by, I had to catch the last tube at 10 or else I wasn't gonna make it.
That's early too.
Yeah. And I didn't really understand, or maybe it was midnight. I ended up getting dropped off. It was like last stop, everyone fucking out. And it was two tube stops away from my host family's house. And I, at the time, this is gonna fucking age me, but I had to buy like a burner phone when I was there. My iPhone 7 or 5 or whatever the fuck, like, didn't really work. So I didn't have Google Maps, I didn't have shit, and I could navigate myself pretty well in London when I would get out of a tube stop and then kind of look around. But this was just a place I had never been before. I had no idea how far away my host family's house was. I had like really no one I could even call. There wasn't like a map. So I ended up asking someone, and they walked with me for part of it, and then they went off because he had also missed his last stop.
That's like a really dangerous position to be in if you think about it.
Yeah, it was so scary. And not to mention that I studied abroad in London in winter, so it's freezing and it looks like a fucking Sherlock Holmes. Like, all the alleys are dark, all the rats are big, all of the, like, I'm sort of in residential, but there's these twisted pines of trees that I, it was just so scary. And then I finally got home and threw up in the toilet of my host family's, but they had a, like, a pull string. You had to, like, pull a tassel at the top, and I could never fucking get it to work. So, I was just super stressed out. I had to go to bed and then wake up and be like, hey, I'm really sorry I clogged your toilet with vomit. Also, like, I almost died last night, but it's fine.
I'm severely hungover.
Yeah, and yeah. I'm severely hungover. So it was a lot of that. It was just a lot of drinking all the time everywhere. And you can also, open container, dude. You can drink, I don't think you can drink on the tube anymore, but you can drink just anywhere in the park, on the sidewalk.
That is wild.
That was a lot. And then when I came home, I just, you know, found easy access to it. Like you said, Katie, it, you know, wasn't that hard, and I just kept drinking. So
yeah. I was gonna say, you know what's interesting, you say that there are a lot of people from the UK in the Instagram sober space.
Yeah.
Which is really cool that we're like able to cross over and like have some of the same experiences as people from other, you know, countries go. It's interesting because for a long time when I was drinking, right, I used this argument that like, oh, the United States is bad because you can't drink until you're 21 years old. Like, there's far less alcohol problems in Europe because of their, you know, normalizing alcohol at such a young age and et cetera, et cetera. And now that I don't drink, I don't think that I would use that as a support for younger drinking.
Yeah, I was of the same mindset too. I was like, oh yeah, their parents let them have a glass of wine with dinner. And then, you know, it's not that restricting thing where you can't have it and then you binge it, which is a thing, with alcohol, mm-hmm. with food, with whatever. But I think because all of the like parents who are encouraging that situation, not all, but I'm sure there's a large percentage that had their own like binge drinking issues, right? And so mm-hmm. when you see your parents drinking as quote unquote normal drinking and what everyone that your parents and your parents' friends and your friends and your friends' parents do, then it doesn't seem like an issue. But
yeah,
easily go into that territory. Anyway, sorry, Katie, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. No, I was going to say I just did some research for tonight's episode because I just wanted to familiarize myself a little bit on like underage drinking. And mm-hmm. Kaylee and I were talking about that. And I feel like this is the perfect example. Per the CDC, households where there is a 5% uptick in binge drinking,
mm-hmm.
there is a 12% more likelihood of the children binge drinking from ages 12 to 20 years old.
Yeah, I mean,
huge statistic, like 5% uptick in drinking, 12% more children are binge drinking in that environment, which is crazy. I didn't grow up in a household with binge drinking.
Yeah, I did for sure. But you just don't recognize it.
Yeah, well, and I feel like I should like statistically it doesn't make sense that my mom didn't drink, but that's probably the only reason I have any saving grace, like that I will pull through this situation, because she was so like, you know, just like always set an example with alcohol, like maybe one glass of something sometimes. But even as a kid, I do not remember her ever drinking. The first time I think I saw her drink, I was 14 when I was moving to Michigan or to Oregon. And it was a bottle of wine. You know what I mean? Like, it just was never in our house really either.
Yeah, my mom doesn't drink either.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, she does. She'll order something if we go out to dinner, or she will, like when we went to Mexico together when I was like 19, she would have margaritas, you know, like she'll drink a margarita, but she's not like no wine, no beer, like only kind of cocktail special occasion thing. So it was really my dad who,
same with my mom.
Yeah, who was the drinker, and I, you know, lived full time with him. So I would just see that as normal. And only until I started getting drunk myself could I recognize his behavior and recognize how often he was doing it. So
yeah, I had a friend who I was really close with. I'm still really close with her. She's fucking awesome. I'm not gonna say her name, but she's fucking awesome. I know for sure that one of their her dad was suffered from just that normalized Midwest drinking culture, like type alcoholism, you know what I mean? Like it was just, poor thing was just like always passed out, snoring, drunk, you know, mm-hmm. just like would go to ham at the football game that day. And it was always like a beer and a koozie kind of a thing. Very kind person, always was so supportive of me when I was there, but definitely probably something that, you know, could get out of hand. Yeah, it's really interesting that neither of our moms drink.
I remember my dad drinks a lot of beer, but he isn't necessarily a super hard alcohol person unless it's like the football game or Christmas or some sort of special occasion. But he's usually like just a lot of beer type of guy. But so we had this liquor cabinet that I would pull from and would just make that nasty cocktail, right, of like melon liqueur that's bright green and Goldschlager and vodka and like blueberry cordial, like just weird shit that my dad never used, that he was either like gifted or whatever. And I did that over the course of like 3 or 4 years. I, you know, if I was desperate. And that's crazy thinking back to be like, wow, I was so desperate to drink even at age like 16, 17 that I was mm-hmm. willing to make this fucking nasty graveyard like cocktail mm-hmm. In order to have it, in order to get it. So, but my dad never actually found out because of how little he drank or looked or touched that alcohol mm-hmm. that like 3 years later, after I had already moved out, he was seeing someone, he was dating this girl and had her over, or woman, hopefully and more likely, but he made her a cocktail and I guess she said that it tasted like water, and he called me about it and I was like, yeah, it is water.
Oh my god, that's it's been so
water
funny.
It's been water for like 3 years and you can't ground me now, so I got away with it.
Yeah, bye bitch.
Yeah, and I never got away with fucking anything. I was grounded for everything.
Same.
always grounded. Yeah. So it was really nice to kind of sneak one in at the end with my dad.
Yeah, that's so cute, dude. When we couldn't get alcohol, when I was a freshman, I went to Willamette. I had this friend and we used to, okay, just so everyone knows out here, I was a kid, so don't judge me. This is a judgment-free zone. I'm priming everyone up for this.
You are very brave, Katie. You say your story.
We used to huff gasoline.
Hell yeah. I love the smell of gasoline. I was like just doing it all, just wanting to figure out like,
oh my god,
what can get you fucked up.
Dude, we used to huff gasoline and then cut the butts, like half the butts off our cigarettes, so we could just smoke them really fast and get a buzz from it.
Yes. Yes.
So bad. Like, and just kids, right? Like it's just so weird to think about. Anyways,
so much sad, weird kid stuff happening.
I feel really interested if any of our listeners didn't have experiences like that too, you know?
They're like, I just went to band practice and
they're like, yeah, you're fucked up.
Well, I remember there was a kid, not to, this will be the last and we'll switch topics, but that played fucking, kids played bloody knuckles at lunch. And it was literally like slamming a quarter into each other's knuckles until they bled. Like the
I thought bloody knuckles was punching knuckles.
I don't know. The kids at my school used fucking tools they had. And I just, I think it's so fucking crazy, like either for like attention crazy. Or like were we all so sad that we just wanted to like numb and harm and
100%
like, god, we were just little babies, we were just little,
I know,
you know, fuck. So anyway, sweet. So now we're all millennials and we're having a rough time.
Yeah.
Or some of us, well, you know.
Yeah, so that kind of brings us back, like we'll reel this back in, this like underage drinking and then like just not having any idea how much you're actually drinking, Kaylee. Like, when did you start to identify that that was problematic, like your relationship with alcohol like changed?
I feel like I should really get an episode where I pull my journal out. It doesn't go too far back. I burned some older volumes when I was doing my poetry phase, but 2013 for me stands out as a year that like really I started drinking alone a lot in ways that I wasn't feeling good about. Like I would just like go mm-hmm. on my patio and chain smoke and drink as much wine as possible. Mm-hmm. And really being a puker, even though sometimes it wouldn't take a lot to make me puke, sometimes it would just not set right and I would immediately projectile. Mm-hmm. But you know, when you're face down in a toilet at the end of the night holding your hair back and puking like blood looking red wine into the toilet, and you have roommates who like need to use the bathroom and pee, or it's just I think aging out too, of the older you get, the more you kind of look around and realize that not everyone is in that position with you. It's not college anymore. And after college, definitely just kind of over time looking around and realizing that the people around me are having one or two beers and I'm already down my bottle of wine and I'm asking if I can like bum one of their beers.
Right.
It just, it's definitely tied to like people pleasing and not wanting to be that girl, you know, you don't want to mm-hmm. be the one that's getting messy. So
yes. Well, and isn't it interesting, because at the beginning of all of this, we want to be that girl that's mm-hmm. saying yes and doing all of the things and fitting in. And then the tables turn so quickly, and some of us get it and some of us don't. And it took me a while to get it, you know?
Yeah, it. Mm-hmm. I just really didn't want to either. I really didn't want to quit drinking. And I just wanted to be out and be social. And I just associated it with so much stuff that's funny looking back now. But the social pressure started it. But then after deciding to just like commit to something and give it a try, it was just like the benefits made me continue to not do it. And now I have enough time behind me where I can see that mm-hmm. it was good. But there really wasn't, I mean, we've talked about this before, a catalyst like going to the hospital, or, you know, Vince was on recently and had a broken mm-hmm. ankle scenario. Like I did those things. I broke my knee. I went to the hospital. I, you know, puked in front of friends. I had people have to throw me in the fucking bathtub. And those weren't the straw that broke the camel's back. For some reason, I just had a wild hair up my ass and was like, all right, combined, this isn't great. Let's finally decide to do something about it. But what about you, Katie? Like,
I feel like I had a couple of like rebirths in sobriety, like, or just in like being more conscious, because mm-hmm. okay, so like a lot of it was to be cool when I was young, right? And then yeah. And then it eventually evolved into numb, you know,
yeah.
like how to numb. And I was in a toxic relationship when I was in my early 20s, like we all mm-hmm. have been. And I was fucking toxic. And so, you know, just making bad decisions, like acting out from a place of like anxious attachment, you know, mm-hmm. Needing approval, just like all of the people pleasing things you do in your early 20s to be loved. So I, after that relationship ended, my drinking increased again.
Yeah.
It was also pretty high during that relationship, but it definitely took like an uptick, because it was like party girl. I was 21 years old and single, and it's like, cool. But then when I met Steve, I was 23 and I was 22 and I still had some of those same habits, but they just were less and less, right?
Like, yeah.
They were still happening. Like every time I would drink, I was going ham.
Mm-hmm.
I was not drinking frequently, but when I would drink, and then I would sometimes take on this narrative that like, oh, I just need to cut loose when I'm not, when I'm with the girls. And, you know, I like kind of embodied this like, oh, I need to escape from my life and, you know, cut loose. And so anyways, I definitely reeled it in though at that point for a little bit. And then I started working in like a bar area.
Mm-hmm.
And I know Kaylee and I were talking about this. You know, a year beforehand, I was asking and paying to be overserved at a bar, right? Like, come on, like, it's fine. And I would get mad if a bartender wouldn't serve me. Like, I would be offended. It would not yeah. go over well. And most of them did, because I was out and about all the time. I was always downtown and partying and drinking at the bars. And so, you know, and I'm also really good at pretending that I'm fine.
Yeah, you would puke outside and duck behind the bushes yeah. and then pop back in and be like, I'm fine.
Yeah, or have a friend buy me something and bring it to me, you know? Like, we all did it. And maybe not. Maybe not all of us, sorry. Don't generalize.
We did it. We both did it.
But then as I kind of grew away from that lifestyle a little bit, I became the person cutting people off.
Shit, that's right. Because you worked in the service industry. What was that like? Because I hate saying no and having yeah. any sort of confrontation. I couldn't imagine, because it's like an ego slap, right? Like, you're too yeah. drunk.
Well, and I had two separate occasions where this came up. One, I worked at like a college pizza restaurant with a bar underneath.
That was open until like, what, 3 a.m., 4 a.m.?
Yeah, 3.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
so, I mean, it's on campus, so there's no escaping that. And like, oftentimes like the really drunk and really underage or just young, not even underage girls would, you know, come upstairs and get slices of pizzas, and my heart just hurt for them. That's when I started getting to the age where I was like, oh baby, like I just want to take care of you. But like I was the same way, you know, like I was doing the same shit, just in a different kind of bar, wearing different clothes and, you know, whatever.
Dude,
like
different lifetimes. But I was drunk at Burrito Boy so fucking much.
Oh my God,
and there
same.
Would be so many people there. You would just see people who probably came from five different parties all wasted eating burritos at like 2 a.m.
Yeah, all wearing an Oregon Duck shirt, you know.
Yeah.
It's just go like, Ducks. So anyways, I then went from that job to fine dining bartending.
Okay, boozy drunks.
Let me tell you, when someone orders five $17 martinis, like you serve them.
Mm-hmm.
Like these people, I was serving like $700 bottles of wine.
Yeah, fuck yeah. Give me that tip.
Yeah. I mean, some of them who are really, really heavy drinkers spend so much money just because they're so drunk. But some who are just really well-seasoned drinkers don't tip on the bottles, only on the food.
Mm.
And so sometimes you would be like, you know, I would pull out a $2,000 tab and they would tip me on the $150 in food or whatever.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But anyways, it was worth it. I was a great, it was, I learned so much at that job. And that's also where my alcohol intake started increasing again. So when I worked there, it was very much so like shots of whiskey all shift.
Mm-hmm.
And then like threats when you would say no. And
really? Oh, what did that sound like?
Well, I was the second person in charge kind of a thing, right? Because I always do that mm-hmm. to myself everywhere that I work. And
yes, good realization.
It's
okay.
My toxic trait. So I know this about myself. Working on it. So I and the owner at the time, who is a dear friend, isn't with us anymore, but drinking was a heavy part of the culture there, and mm-hmm. Probably for his whole life, right? Like working in that industry, and I was kind of newer to it. He's like a big brother to me, but yeah. So I left there because of the alcohol, because Steve and I were both like, this is becoming a problem.
Yeah.
And so that was like another point in my life when I was like, okay, like this binge drinking that started from such a young age, I'm starting to recognize come out in my adult like behavior, like where, like mm-hmm. you said, everyone else is done drinking and I'm like, oh, I'm gonna have another one, are you, like, you know, and just feeling like I was always one ahead of everyone else, and I always yep. made sure I was.
Mm-hmm.
Like I always needed to have just a little bit more than everyone else. I would always like drink one beer at home before I would go, or, you know, like have a White Claw before the wedding. So yeah, that's kind of a vulnerable share for me, because that was something that developed later on.
Yeah.
You know, when I was in a more stable place in my life, or, you know, I thought I was, but I was having a really 2020 was a fucking hard year. That is yeah. so crazy. That's like the year that did it for me. And I think a lot of people can relate. So we'll have to do another episode about that, Kay.
Yeah, I mean, mine is too. And I think in terms of 2020 being the year that I quit, and I honestly think that being away from so many people, I don't know if I would have been able to do it with that. Not even peer pressure, but just how often it's constantly in my life. You know, besides the past two jobs that I had, there's no way. The culture was so all about that. And the age that I was, I think, especially wanting to fit in and just breaking into agency life and trying to, you know, hustle and network yeah. and start my career. Like, I just, that was what you did.
Mm-hmm.
That was what everyone did. Mm-hmm. And I think that if I can put a positive spin on that fuckhole of a year, like 2020, like it did. I hope it. I do think it really sparked people's ability to stick to their guns on some yeah. things that they might have otherwise not have done if they were exposed to so many different people and their opinions and all of that bullshit. So
I have a crazy statistic for you that applies to that. So check this out. In January of 2022, 29% of Americans participated in Dry January.
20% of all, like, 29%?
29%.
That's so cool.
So if that is any like perspective on like how this is going, right? Like after 2020 and then after 2021 and then like going into 2022, like that many people are like, okay, I need to get a handle, and that many people have like access to this information. And then it's crazy mm-hmm. because in 2019 there was the CDC did an entire census on drinking, and in 2019, 29% of Americans ages 12 through 18 drank in the past 30 days.
So the same amount of people that drank, like that were underage drinkers in America.
From 12 to 18, yeah, 29% now are cutting back on alcohol.
Yeah.
Which is so cool. And 14% of all people between the ages of 12 and 18 binge drank in the last 30 days.
Yeah.
Which binge drinking, for anyone that's listening, like, I don't have a really good definition on that, but I would say probably drinking more than four drinks in one night. Let's get on the Googles, okay? Let us know what that looks like.
I mean, in dictionary terms, it's the consumption of an excessive amount of alcohol in a short period of time.
Well, and that looks different for every person, so...
The example in the fucking dictionary is teenagers as young as 16 admit to binge drinking. That's how they like used it in a sentence.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. It's like, it's really prevalent. So it's really exciting though, too, to have that like combative statistic of people questioning their relationship with alcohol. Because as we know, for every parent that questions their relationship with alcohol, 12% less children have access or are less likelihood to binge drinking. So it really does start with us adults and like, you know, consciously looking at our relationships with alcohol. Not that everyone needs to be sober, but like just being like, does this serve me in this moment? Am I in a good place to drink right now? You know?
Yeah. And I am just totally feeling for whoever else is doing these Google searches. Like I Googled, what does binge drinking mean? And then it's just so many. Is a binge drinker the same as an alcoholic? What is another word for binge drinking? Is drinking every night okay? Those are the things that are popping up. And it's just...
I know. My heart goes out to people who are struggling with that right now, too. Not just the people who are being like successfully doing it, you know? Because like that struggle is what gets people closer to finding resources to help them. So
yeah, exactly.
Speaking of resources, let's take a break to give a shout out to our partners.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
Cool. As you all know, I'm obsessed with Reframe app. It's the number one alcohol reduction app. It's built to help you drink less. Whether your goal is to cut back or quit entirely, Reframe is life-changing. Daily Zoom support groups, a community forum, and challenges, podcasts, TED Talks, you name it, over 100 resources are accessible in this app at any given time. You can download Reframe app on iOS, use the 7-day free trial, and use code KATY, Katie, for 10% off your subscription.
Awesome. So when we ran our Dry January group, we connected with a sober, curious local business owner based out of Eugene in Oregon. And High Street Tonics crafts organic herbal bitters and honey cider vinegar tonics. So the restorative tonics support digestion and well-being through their herbal properties, and they make the most amazing mocktails. Use the link in our bio to shop their website and use code DRYHARDPOD, all one word, all caps, for 10% off when you purchase. Okay, I'm gonna open this can. It's gonna make a noise.
Oh yeah.
Delish.
Okay.
Awesome. So now that we are back from giving our sponsors some love, Katie, what are you looking forward to now that your teenage in your youth binge drinking is over, and now that you're like almost at 420 days in with your sobriety,
still a 14-year-old at heart. I like I said, like these underage drinking memories keep popping up, and not even drinking, just like things mm-hmm. in general. I was telling Kaylee that I really want to make a meme for my Instagram page, which would be a first for me, that just says like, true integration is loving the version of you that posted a status update on Facebook 10 years ago, right? Like, I would love to get to a point where I love that version of me and I'm not ashamed and embarrassed and, you know, just disappointed. And I'm so kind of revisiting that and just figuring out how to love myself for all the dumb shit that I did.
Oh my gosh. And just the way that you said disappointed just sounded like a parent to your younger child being like, I'm not mad at you. I'm just disappointed.
We're just working through it. And so, yeah, just like continuing the work and then like also acknowledging that like sometimes the work is resting and just being nice to myself and showing up imperfect. It doesn't always have to be exactly like I plan it. And it just, you know, it's just part of being there for yourself. So that's my plan. That's what I'm looking forward to. I'm in trying to enjoy it this far. So
awesome. Yeah, it sounds like you've been doing a better job now that your body told you to slow the fuck down of finding balance and, you know,
yeah, and just like not always living in that nervous system space, like where my body is like in this mode where it needs to like defend me, you know, like always down to the wire with all my deadlines and just feeling, you know, oh, I skipped my meditation, like you're a piece of shit, versus like, oh, it's okay, just do it today, girl, like you're good.
Yeah.
So we're getting closer to that. That's the goal. So
I relate to that so hard. Mm-hmm. There, I have a lot of stuff right now that's just been on my to-do list for forever that I'm so excited to check off.
I made a to-do list. I made a to-do list, like you said, and I checked 3 things off of it today, and I wanted to thank you for giving me that tool because I'm going to keep using it.
Did it feel satisfying, or did you feel bad for the things that were still on there that you were unable to check off? No? Good.
Nope.
Good.
It was a good reminder that I needed to do them, but
fuck yeah, I leave so much shit on there. And then I've actually stopped using my to-do list because I'm so sick of just transferring the same shit over and over every day. But
yeah, dude, I was transferring it over in my brain without writing it on paper. So I had to make a change.
You know what, too, Katie, I've been feeling so disorganized, and maybe that's what I need to do is just write down a list and go back to that habit, even though sometimes for me it can get a little unhealthy because totally. My lists get real fucking long.
Dude, So like, is that where you're kind of going next? What's happening? What's coming up with all of this underage drinking and, you know, a lot of those years in our life?
Well, one of the things that I feel like I'm getting really close to finally doing is working on my fucking meditation stuff. So Katie and I both talked about it. They are not a sponsor with us, but To Be Magnetic has a program that I'm really excited to start. And one of the sections is healing your inner child. And I am scared.
Yeah, that's
for
so
what's
going
to come up. But
when I signed up for To Be Magnetic, I didn't know if that's what it was. I had just seen that like a couple memes get shared, and I really liked honestly what their social media looked like. And then I was like, oh, it's $27 a month. Okay, I can afford that. Like, let's fucking do this. And then I, boom, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's fantastic. It really got the cogs turning. You know what I mean? Like, it just made sense. And like working with a therapist is amazing, and I do that as well. But I think that it's also, you know, cool to be able to speed up some of those processes if you feel like you're in a place where you're ready to do that. Through meditation and journaling. So, yeah.
Yeah. I just want to look at those times more, and I have no problem admitting, you know, a lot of the things that I did in high school, some things I will take to the grave.
Yeah, same.
Right. But I just want to kind of ask those questions of like, why? Like, why when I was 15 did I drink 5 beers and then just like fucking go to school?
Oh my God. Like, right.
And not even not tell anyone.
Oh my God. I never did that. Sorry, I just othered you. I'm sorry.
No, I mean, maybe I did. Maybe I did fucking tell people in order to like try and be cool. Yeah. But
maybe not, which is like also a huge indicator that there's something going on there.
Something's wrong.
We used to drink vodka in the and Popov is what we would drink. but we used to drink it in the locker bay, the freshman locker bay at Willamette, in water bottles.
Mm-hmm.
Gross. So gross.
So I want to figure out, like, I don't know. I just want to dive into those behaviors because I obviously still get triggered. I obviously, like, have my moments where I'm crying and I'm like, I hate not drinking. Yeah. So let's fix some of the stuff behind that, or at least try and understand myself a little bit better.
Yes, I love that.
Yeah, I want to learn a lot more about myself. And I think that that's going to be what I need to do in order to, like myself and accept myself and not mm-hmm. beat myself up so fucking much all the time.
Hell yeah.
So, yeah.
So, Kaylee, as we close out this episode, episode 17, how crazy.
So fucking cool.
I know. What are some resources that we can leave our friends with?
Yes. So I would say if you are one of those people who are Googling how many drinks is considered binge drinking, is drinking every night okay, if you're going through those Google searches, like, that is a sign that you're feeling some sort of shame around drinking. And I think looking for more resources, you know, hopefully listening to this podcast helps. That's the goal. Really reaching out to figure out a therapy situation or some sort of support group, some sort of community where you can talk about these things with other people and just start collecting tools in that toolkit for you to be able to make a conscious decision. Like, do I want to go ahead and quit cold turkey? Do I want to taper off? Do I want to try and just maybe not drink once a week and see how that makes me feel?
Yeah. What are the options for me?
Yeah. There's so many. Like, you do yes. not have to pack your bags and like send your ass straight to inpatient or like write to an AA meeting.
Unless you need that, like, unless you're like, that is what I need, because I also can respect that shit, you know?
Yes, I have been honestly really just wanting to go to inpatient for like the experience, like for funsies. Yeah. Which is sounds so fucking stupid and privileged, but
no, but maybe just to learn some things that you skipped over in your sobriety, you know what I mean? Like, we didn't have a lot of structure in the beginning of our journey with alcohol, right?
And just thinking about an entire, period of time to just focus solely on my mental health and not anything else sounds really cool.
Yeah. And just relaxing and just like what we probably deserve and need.
Yeah, for sure. There are some therapy resources I've mentioned before. Psychology Today is a really great resource to be able to find stuff like that. And then also Therapy Jeff, who is someone who is on both TikTok and Instagram, I believe, with that handle. He's really awesome. He provides so much helpful content for free. And then he also, I believe, has a website called therapyjeff.com, and there's some really great resources there as well. So if you end up checking him out and liking his content, definitely stay tuned for one of our upcoming episodes, because we get to talk to him a little bit more in depth, and we're really excited to have him on as a future special guest. So
yeah, so exciting. We are always looking to collaborate with people. So if you're listening to this and you're like, oh, I have some shit to say, like, hit us up. I think we're going to take on one guest a month.
Yeah, that's definitely the goal. Yeah. I just think it's so cool to get to hear about other people's experiences. And, you know, Katie and I have really similar experiences. And there's just so much that goes beyond that, but especially super excited for Therapy Jeff, just because I think tying some of the stuff that we've been talking about to actual things that are going on with psychology and with our brains is going to be really cool.
Yes. So I also want to leave everyone with a little tidbit. I am going to be a guest on a sober podcast that we share space with, and I'm really excited about that. It's a podcast by Zach Mathers called Braving the Journey.
That's awesome.
Yeah, he just invites people on for 60-minute episodes, and they share their sobriety and how they got there and what tools they used, and it's really just so cool. So check him out over on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify. Literally, the title is Real People Talking About Real Life, Braving the Journey with Zach Mathers. And you can't miss it. It's a really great one. So I just listened to the most recent episode with one of my favorite Instagram accounts, The Sassy Sober Life. She's fucking hilarious. She's from Portland. She just did an episode with Zach, and it was a really good one.
Oh, that's awesome. When can people listen to your episode? Do you know yet, or you'll have to keep us posted?
I'm not quite sure. Okay. Yes, I'm also trying to kind of space my stuff out. But I'm thinking probably the first or second week in March we will record, and then the rest is up to him. So I will definitely link that when we're getting close.
Yes. Yeah, we are all about like sharing the space, and the more content you can listen to that helps you, maybe someone says something that resonates with you that they just say it the right way or are able to make an analogy. Katie and I are pretty shitty at those.
We need to have Vince back on. We've already got feedback that you guys all are obsessed with him, as are we. So
I know. We'll definitely need to have him back, mm-hmm. but I'll just kind of throw an easy one out there to just binge drink other shit.
Yes.
If you're a binge drinker, like I constantly right now have 2 soda water cans, a regular water bottle, and tea. Just continue to keep your hands busy and your mouth busy doing that same motion, especially when you're first starting out. Mm-hmm. I'm an OG fan of Martinelli's. Marty, sponsor me.
Oh my gosh, it's
sparkling apple cider. I have no idea.
Oh my God.
I just like to picture some like big Apple, mm-hmm. Apple CEO, owner of Martinelli's sparkling apple cider and apple juice products. Yeah. But,
totally. I know. I'm all about those bevies. And check out High Street Tonics. They are fucking dope. I'm going to be making a reel using my favorite one of their tonics. And I'm not sure which bitters I'm going to use yet, but I'll share that on Dry Hard Pod. And then although Reframe app is one of our partners, it is also a tool with 100 tools in it. So
yeah.
If you don't use my code, you don't have to use my code, but if you need something, download it and try it for 7 days and just give it a go, especially if you don't feel like you have access to therapy right now. It's not a replacement tool, but it's definitely an affordable tool for people. So I think that that's important that people know that there is access to that too.
It's like the Swiss Army knife of sobriety toolkits.
Oh my God. Let's sell that to them. Yeah.
Good one. Yeah. Okay. I love that. All right. That is our episode. We're so excited to get to talk to you all more and start getting some more special guests in here later.